Are we loaded up and ready to go? Thumbs up on that one. Brother Jeff, would you mind coming up and helping us with the offering, please? If I don't get that out of the way, I'll get underway and forget it. Amen. All right, brother, go ahead and pray for us.
Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here in our church today and gather as a group, Lord, and to study your word. Thank you for the lesson and the man you've given us to teach us the word, Lord. Thank you for all your many blessings. Forgive my sin and hear my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Kind of a cool morning this morning, isn't it? My wife right now is probably wishing she was in Tennessee. She loves it freezing. So, but she wouldn't do too well with a cold that she's got if she were in Tennessee right now. She's shaking her head, yes. I've been telling her she's talking too much and she doesn't receive it too well. I would say she's defenseless, but she threatened me with physical violence this morning. So, no, I'll have to go get a track hose, so I guess I better move on now.
I was going to say I got some dog food at the house.
Yeah. And some of her favorite wedding gifts are rolling pins and frying pans. Sister Jennifer back there laughing. It's just 6 days out. What time is the wedding next week?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, okay. We didn't know for sure last night whether it was 1 or 3, but 1 o'clock. Over at Victory, right, in Folkestone. But it is good to see all of y'all. When I come through the lesson last week, I thought that I might be through with what I was teaching on, but I'm not. There are some other things that I need to cover and need to talk about. And want to get a little bit more. When we start talking about the issue of abortion, it's okay just, to talk about it from a scriptural standpoint of view, but we need to document some statistics and figures like that to give you some idea of how bad it really is. And it would amaze you how many women go through repeat abortions. And I've got some figures here on that this morning. That's the topic I'm going to get back in, and hopefully I'll be able to finish it up this morning. But I have worked for the last almost 2 weeks now on updating all of the documents that I've got that deal with abortion on my website and trying to get the links and everything updated, and I'm hoping to get that finished next week. There's a lot of information there. And in some of these documents, I call out some of the National Right to Life documents, and they've moved some of those, and that's a problem when you build a website. People go and move stuff on you, and the links that they have, you go to click on them, and they don't work. So I'm going to take those documents that they have, and I'm going to load them to my website. So that if you go to the website, you can just click on those, and it'll take you to those particular articles. Because the National Right to Life has some outstanding articles dealing with this issue of abortion. Now, next to Islam, Communism and Nazism, the occultic doctrines of evolution, eugenics, and abortion are the most wicked devices that Satan has used to promote the destruction of mankind in the last 100 years. You think about that. While Adolf Hitler is deservedly maligned and condemned for his mass murder of 6 million Jews and millions of other innocents, he is a saint compared to Joseph Stalin, Maltese tongue, and the abortion clinics throughout the world. American abortion clinics have far exceeded the atrocities of Adolf Hitler and the carnage they have wrought. Hitler's biggest problem is that he was on the losing side. Had Hitler won, we would be talking about the atrocities of Vladimir Lenin and Joseph Stalin today instead of Hitler's. That's the fact of the matter, folks. And both of those were wicked. When I was in high school, I done a paper called The Permanent Purge. And I used a book that was written by Zbigniew Brzezinski. And y'all know him if you know anything about American politics. He's really a left-winger. But he wrote about the purges of Stalin. And I done a paper on that in high school, and I never forgot it. And at that time, he'd killed over 20 million of his own people. No, the title of the book was The Permanent Purge. And Joseph Stalin killed over 20 million of his people. But Mao Zedong killed a whole lot more than that. In fact, what they estimate that between the Russians and the Chinese, that they killed over 150 million of their own people. That's the estimate. They've documented many, many millions of them have been done. And yet, the abortions that are performed throughout the world today are a whole lot worse. Remember what I told you last week? Two every second are aborted in the world. That's just like that. Two. It's about as fast as you can pop your fingers. Now, abortion is the sacrifices to the God of evolution and the God of eugenics. Y'all know what eugenics is. Y'all know that Margaret Sanger was a promoter of eugenics, the founder of Planned Parenthood. And do you know that if you take a look at the doctrines of evolution, the doctrines of eugenics and the abortion agenda, they all tie right in together, is what they do. And if you take a look at evolution, it is a false religion. It denies the God of the Bible the glory that He's due for having created all things. That's what it does. While we believe that evolution is one of the biggest lies ever formulated in the mind of Satan, there are some questions that need to be asked of the evolutionists. And this stuff all ties together, folks. And one of those would be this. What was the force that put the evolutionary process in motion? What was the force that put it in motion? And what is the force that now keeps it in motion? Of course, those are not questions that a Christian even needs to ask. But if you're dealing with an evolutionist, ask him those questions. And he stops and he has to do a double take is what he has to do. The next question you would want to ask them is, where did that force come from? And what you're hearing a lot today out of the evolutionists is that they talk about a universal life force. They can't explain it any other way. Who do we know from the Bible is the universal life force? It's God Almighty. That's who it is. It's God Almighty. If you take a look at that universal life process that they refer to, it's just one of the gods that's in the pantheon of evolution. They've got a load of gods. They've taken God and fashioned him with their own hands is what they've done. They made a god that will serve them instead of them serving God. The science of DNA and the mathematical science of statistics are the two strongest natural arguments against evolution. That they're natural arguments. They are scientific arguments. While I believe the Bible, with the modern science that we got today, I can use modern science to prove that evolution is one of the biggest delusions ever came up with. They mock Christians for the faith that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. What they believe in is so far-fetched that it is literally unbelievable. When we talk about, I know from the Bible that evolution is a satanic delusion. In these modern times, I do not even have to go to the Bible to disprove evolution. I can use the natural sciences that operate according to God's natural laws. DNA operates according to God's natural laws. And how many of you know anything about statistics? Do you believe that statistics is a mathematical science? Do you believe that it can be proved? Absolutely it can. It is one of God's natural laws. And I've taken courses in statistics, and if you look at, there's a term that they use. They talk about confidence levels when dealing with statistics. And if you study the subject out, if you take some of the things that the evolutionists say and consider the probability of even the smallest of them coming to pass, do you know that they are practically impossible statistically? Ask the evolutionist if he believes that statistics is a scientific discipline. And then you ask them, what about the probabilities of the evolution of even the simplest of cells to have taken place? That on its face just proves it. And then we've got DNA. And by the way, DNA has convinced a lot of the so-called evolutionists to move away from the position that they hold to. DNA was a cold slap in the face of the evolutionists. And the mathematical statistics, as they've been laid out and the way we've studied them, put a huge question mark into the faith of the evolutionists. They have faith, but it's a faith that's a blind faith. It's not like biblical faith. But, yeah. Yeah. Did you hear what she was saying? Some of you can't hear. I know I'm hard of hearing. She used the term laminate. Laminate is a part of the DNA. And what it actually does is it's what holds it together. And it's in the shape of a cross. What about that? So it's amazing the more you look at. And by the way, I had an interesting conversation with Sister Linda this morning, talking about abortion and some of the things that she said that she had it in her record at the hospital that she would refuse to participate in any procedure that involved an abortion. And she also told me that most of the nurses that she's worked with over the years are opposed to abortion. You said that, right? Had firsthand experiences with it. And folks, the more you study this thing, the people that do this stuff are monsters. They are monsters. They're no better than the people that were all operating in the concentration camps of Adolf Hitler and in the gulags of Joseph Stalin. No better. That's right. Did you hear what she said? When they say that they made me do it, or that they make me do it, she says, that's a lie. Because they can't make you do it.
Back in the day, when they had that drug came out, called
RU-486. Yes.
It was a young lady who went to see if I had
them. Yep. Amen, sister. Folks, you need to stand up. There's some things that they can't do. There's some things they will do if you let them. They will do it. But folks, it's time for Christians to stand up. I'm not talking about being violent. I'm talking about standing up for what's right and say, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. Now, back to one more statement about evolution. I want y'all to know that God did not have a multi-million year drawl when he spoke all things into existence. Think about that. 6 days and it was done. And that 6 days was for our benefit. He's not limited in time. He exists outside the bounds of time. And if you start thinking about the immensity of God, it's an amazing thing if you think about it. It is so amazing. It just blows me away every time I start even consider it.
You'll sit right down,
yeah. He's amazing, ain't he?
It's
amazing what he's done for us. God is amazing. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's amazing, folks. So I'm going to move on now. The Bible says this in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 25. It says this: "Cursed is he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person." And all the people shall say, "Amen." That's what the Bible says, folks. Cursed are they that take a reward to slay an innocent person. Based upon this verse, I can tell you that an abortionist or any other hit man or woman is under the curse of God for taking money for killing an innocent. The murder of babies in America is all about money, folks. An abortionist is no different than a hitman that will take money for using a bullet to blow somebody's brains out. I think about the only way the pro-abortion lobby in America would raise an objection to even the most heinous form of abortion is if they used a gun to perform it. I think that's about the only way these people would raise any kind of objection to it. That's how serious this thing is. Sister Barbara. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 25. And all these people, sister. Yes. Planned Parenthood was caught in the middle of it.
Yes.
Documented. And folks, they published a report, their 2015 and 2016 business report, and I've looked at it. And one of the focuses in that document, I believe it's probably around 19, 20 pages, somewhere around there, was trying to refute what was documented against them and their abortion, the selling of the baby parts. And it was documented. And if it hadn't have been, folks, don't you think there would have been some massive lawsuits? It's a proven fact. They've got them. They caught them red-handed. And it's documented. I'm going to get into some statistics here and try to cover as much as I can here, and I'm going to try not to take and run any rabbits, but it's hard not to run the rabbits, okay? When they pop up, you got to shoot them, because if you don't, they just produce more. So, included in the statute of the 2003 partial birth abortion ban is the assertion that moral, medical, and ethical consensus exists that the practice of performing a partial birth abortion is a gruesome and inhumane procedure that is never medically necessary and should be prohibited. You know what partial birth abortion actually is? It is a legal walk around the murder statute. Because until that baby's head passes out of the womb, they consider it still be unborn, and they can kill that baby. And I'm not going to get too graphic with the process that takes place here this morning, but they can kill that baby. And Congress got involved in it, but they didn't go far enough. Because you get right down to it, you partial birth abortion or some of the other procedures that they use, and you can go and study up on those, are just as wicked, as vile, as violent as partial birth abortion is, because it takes a human life. They become gods because they take the right of God to take away a human life. They put it into their own hands. And when you do that, folks, it's called murder. Now, God allows for the death penalty, okay? That's another issue that's kind of connected with this thing. Another statistic here, this kind of came up because I believe Sister Mary had asked a question the first week that we done this, and I thought I probably ought to try to pull some statistic in on this. Those having had zero previous abortions, and these figures I believe they're from 2013, constituted 240,969 of the abortions. That's 55% of them. And then those having had one previous abortion constituted 108,629. That's 24.8%. And those having had two previous abortions constituted 49,885. And that's 11.4% of the abortions. And having had three or more, there's those out there that have had three or more abortions, they constituted 38,394 of the abortions in 2013. That's 8.8%. You take all those and combine them together, 45% of the abortions that are performed in the United States of America are from repeat offenders. 45% are from repeat offenders. And I use the term offender because I believe it to be murder. Okay, now, 40% of minors having an abortion report that neither of their parents knew about the abortion. 39 states currently enforce parental consent or notification laws for minors seeking an abortion. Now, I have built a table, and I'm going to upload it sometime this week, and I have identified in that table what the law is in each state, whether or not parental consent is required, and also whether or not it can be overruled by a court order. And by the way, in most cases, it can be overruled by a court order because the Supreme Court has decreed that it be so. You have no parental rights when they decide they want to go get an abortion. And folks, they have taken that right away from you as a parent. And folks, that's about as ungodly as you can get. Now, according to the United Nations 2013 report, only 9 countries in the world have a greater abortion rate than the United States of America. China's one of them, and they estimate that somewhere between 41.7% and 74.3% of Chinese pregnancies are aborted. Those are some shocking numbers, folks, if you'll think about it. Now, according to the CDC, Table 5 in their 2013-14 report, you can go to the Centers for Disease Control, pull up their charts and look at them. The title of this particular table is Reported Abortions Among Adolescents. For the year 2000, there were 2,213 abortions that were performed on girls that were 14 years old or younger. And folks, this did not include 13 states because California routinely does not report its abortion statistics. They don't do it. And there's a list of others, and sometimes Florida's not in the mix. And California, Florida, and Texas are the top three states in the number of abortions that they perform. New York has a 31% abortion rate of pregnancies. California, 23%. District of Columbia, 29%. Rhode Island, 24%. New Jersey, 26%. And there's other figures. The top 11 of the people that do, states that do abortions, their percentages exceed that 22% threshold. And folks, and by the way, Texas's numbers are so high on the total number of abortions because, believe it or not, they have the second highest population of any state in the union. And 14% of the babies in the state of Texas get aborted. So that gives you some perspective on it. In the year 2013, the figure that I just reported there, 2,213 abortions, was in 2012. That was on the minor children, 14 years of age or younger. And then in the year 2013, there was a total of 1,189 abortions on girls 14 years or younger. Just think about that. A 14-year-old girl, 14 years old, and these monsters think they have the right to do that. And God help you if you recommend an abortion for one of your grandchildren or your children. Now listen at these figures. Of those 1,189 abortions of the adolescents, 338 of them were white. That's 28.4%. 566 were black. That's 47.6%. 57 were other, not defined by the CDC. And then 228 of them were Hispanic, 19.2%. Folks, if you'll go and read the articles, you will realize that there is an agenda when it comes to abortion. The black population in the United States of America constitutes roughly 13.3% of the statistical population. And yet, they are in the, in some locations, they exceed 40% being aborted, of black babies being aborted in some locations. Nationally, the average, I believe, is somewhere up around 28-29%. And when you consider that they only make up 13%, and yet they've got 29% of the abortions, there's a serious issue there, folks. And there's a black pastor out there by the name of, his name is Childress, up in New Jersey. He has a website set up called blackgenocide.org. You ought to go and look at that. You want to see what the agenda is. Why are so many black babies being aborted? You need to think about that. Well, from a practical standpoint of view, that might stop some of it, but it wouldn't stop all of it. I mean, for the people that they fix, it would, yeah. Man, and that's another, that brings another thought to mind, Sister Hilda. Do you know that 1 in 8 of the people that go in and get abortions were on birth control pills before they got pregnant? And one of the ladies that used to work for Planned Parenthood, her testimony is that for all three of the children that she had, that she was on birth control pills for all of them when she got pregnant. Birth control is not a reliable means of denying conception. Abstinence. Abstinence gets it done every time. Sister Diane. Yes, they are. And I wished I had the time this morning to get into some of that. And I am going to get into some of it because I have to. I want to move on from this topic, but I want to impress upon you the need to understand the issues. That's what I want to do here. And I could, hey, so go ahead. And the state of Florida, 24% of their pregnancies end in abortion. That's a figure out of state, and that's one of the highest states. All right, now, quickly, reasons that are given for, they've conducted some surveys, and some of the reasons that are given for the women that desire to have these abortions. Victim of rape, less than 0.5%. Fetal health problems, 3%. Physical health problems, 4%. Would interfere with education or career, 4%. Not mature enough to raise a child, 7%, but mature enough to have sex. Don't want to be a single mother, 8%. Don't have children outside of wedlock. Done having children, 19%. Can't afford a baby, 23%. Not ready for a child, 25%, and then 6 other. Now, National Right to Life has a pamphlet that they hand out, and it's available on the internet called Reasons. And in that, they document some of the reasons that they've been given, and here's some of them. Justifying abortion. This could mean the end of my hopes and dreams. It's just a blob of tissue. Remember, Sister Linda, what you told me this morning? Just a blob. It's my body, my choice. No, it's not. That child belongs to God. Children are an heritage of the Lord. I can't face my parents. And that is a problem, folks. And I've told you this before, that we need to deal with them in love. When they come to us, we need to direct them to the resources where they don't have to have an abortion. Sister Dot. That's right. Okay, the next one is the baby's better off. Another one, I can't afford a child or care for one right now. People will look down on me for being pregnant. There are already too many mouths to feed. Abortion involves a basic conflict. Listen at this one. This one sounds high. Between the rights of the mother and the child. Something has to give. Abortion is better than teen motherhood. Women are going to have abortions anyway, so at least make them legal. Legalize murder. Let them go ahead and kill them if they want to. That's what that whole idea is. The fate of feminism is tied to the freedom to choose. That's wicked. That's wicked. That's of the devil, folks. And most of feminism is. Amen, Sister Linda. And one of the reasons Sister Linda is speaking, she is a retired nurse. She's been there. And folks, I feel for the folks that are involved in the legitimate medical field that have to deal with this issue. They shouldn't have to deal with it. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to speak to that. I've got some things that address that particular issue too. Abortion is a religious matter between a woman and her God. God's already set the rule down. You don't take the life of an innocent. That's not your option. Questions, and I hope I'll be able to get through these. It kind of deals with what Sister Lindsay was just talking about. Questions that abortionists ask. Here's some of them. What if a child is unwanted? You know what one of the rejoinders is to that? What if the mother, who never wanted an abortion, had a child and then 2 years later decided that she did not want the child anymore? Would it be okay for her to murder the child? Sister Barbara. And that is an option. Adoption is an option. Adoption is better than murder, folks. Sister Mary. And one of the reasons this is so very important, when we think about, when I made the statement that would it be okay for them to kill that child that had been alive 3 or 4 years, what's the difference between murdering that child and the one that was in the womb? What is the equivalence of doing that? These are some things that we need to think about, sister. It is. Yeah. Now, and to address exactly what she just said, there are now groups in Europe who are pushing for post-birth abortions. You see where all this goes? And they're pushing for it. They're in Great Britain. Yeah. Next question. What if the mother cannot afford the child? Here's a rejoinder to that one. Should the mothers who now have children who are living in poverty be allowed to kill those children because they cannot afford them? What of the mother who loses her husband while she is raising a 3-year-old boy? And she can't afford it. Would it be okay to kill that 3-year-old boy? Okay. Right. Amen. Amen, sister. Now, what if the baby is deformed? This is one of the big ones that you hear. The rejoinder to that one is this, and I want you to think about this. What if a 4-year-old girl is involved in an accident and loses both of her legs? Would it be okay to murder her because she's now deformed? That's unconscionable, isn't it? But that's the comparison that needs to be made when they present that argument. There are huge numbers of children and adults that were born with birth defects or have lost limbs to accidents or have disfigured faces because of accidents. Would it be okay to murder them because they're deformed and disfigured? No. What if a woman was raped? And this is a tough one, folks. What if a mother who was the victim of a rape has a six-year-old son? This is another hypothetical situation. Has a six-year-old son who looks just too much like his rapist father. To think about this. And she decides she wants to murder that six-year-old son. Is there any difference between that and the one that's in the womb? These are the type of arguments that you ought to make when dealing with these people. Sister Ashlyn. Amen. 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 Yeah. In issues of rape, one of the options that's available is to put the child up for adoption. Do y'all realize how much resistance there is to families adopting children in America, but yet we'll kill a baby in a skinny minute? You realize how illogical that is? Well, Jeff.
Have you noticed how easy it is to adopt a baby from Asia or Africa or wherever?
Yeah. Yeah, that's political. Yeah. Yeah. Now, back to the issue of rape. The wrong of rape cannot be righted by the wrong of abortion. Rape is an act of violence against a woman that cannot be righted by another act of violence against the woman and her unborn child. Now, that's my stance on it. The child should be allowed to come to birth. And folks, let me say this. It's especially true for Christians. You don't ever do a wrong to try to right another wrong. You can't do that. Brother Chris. Yep. They need to be born. They need to be allowed to be born. And the other issue in this is, what if the woman is a victim of incest? That's another tough one, isn't it? You remember the young man we knew whose father was his grandfather? Up in Tennessee. That's a tough issue. But the same arguments that apply there apply for rape to the ones for rape also, folks. They've got to be allowed to live. You don't have the option to put yourself in the place of God and kill an innocent baby. And all babies are innocent, so let's make sure that everybody understands that. Now, the next thing is what. And this is one that really drives to the issue of what's really happening here. What are we going to do to control the population explosion? Amen. You hear that word? Abstinence. But, folks, the way our society is, excuse my misuse of the English language, that ain't going to happen. Let me say this, too. Those folks that have a one-nighter and then they feel like it's okay to execute a baby to cover up for that, that's about as wicked as you can get. Yeah. Many women today are aborting their babies in a process called sex selection abortion. If the baby is not the gender they want, they abort the baby. not a justification, folks. And I'm going to have to close with this one here. In the current rapidly perverted and reprobate environment in America, what recourse will parents have if at some time in the future a gender-selected child wants to have a sex change operation? You laugh. But there's a very real possibility that that could happen. That's how far we've gone, folks. That's how wicked this thing is. It is unconscionable to me that a man or woman could do the things that they do to abort a baby and go home and go to sleep. These stinking left-wing liberals that push these abortions, sodomy and everything else, that's ungodly, think that they have the right to dictate to you when a baby ought to be murdered or killed and take that baby's life. It's all part of the agenda, folks. And if you don't believe that sodomy is a part of the birth control agenda, think about it. Think about it. RU 486, birth control agenda. Abortions. In fact, people are now using abortions as a means of contraception. That's how bad off this thing has got. And I think I'm probably through. I said this last week, but I think I'm probably through with this topic there. But next week I'm going to try to finish up and upload all these documents. I'm going to try to put them all on my website so that you ain't got to worry about them being moved. And I'm going to put them up there so you can go and download them. You ought to go and download some of the Right to Life publications and look at them. And I'm going to close this out by making this statement. Regardless of how wicked this thing is, you do not have the right to take the law into your own hands. Okay? Thank y'all for listening this morning. I'm sorry, sister. Go ahead. Well, you hear reports on it all the time. If you go and you start doing some readings, there's a lady that has a website up, and she deals with this issue of abortion, and that's one of the issues that she deals with. And when I upload that website, I can't remember what it is now, but when I update the stuff this week, I'm going to try to link to that article or see if I can get permission to bring it in. They have seared consciousness. That's what happens. And after you reach a point, after you kill so many of them, it doesn't bother you anymore. That's how they were able to do what they done in the Nazi death camps. Thank you all for listening this morning.